Psalm 119, and we're going to read the third part with the Hebrew letter Gimel. So Psalm 119 and the verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And we'll end there, knowing the Lord will bless the reading of his word. This third section is entitled Gimel, and each verse in this section then begins with that particular Hebrew letter. The Hebrew letter Gimel signifies a camel. It is interesting, during our Lord's ministry on earth, he made mention of the camel a couple of times. He used it to teach that we are to keep a correct sense of proportion. And the Lord said to the Pharisees and the scribes in Matthew 23, verse 24, "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." You strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And that was in the context of the Lord speaking about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and scribes, how they were scrupulous over minor details. And so the example that's given there is tithing, that they would tithe even to the mints in their herb, even to the herbs in their garden. But the problem wasn't this close attention to the tithing, but that they ignored weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And so the Lord said, "These ought ye to have done." It's right to even fulfill what the Lord has given in these minor matters, but not to leave the other undone. And so don't ignore the gnat, but let's start with the camel. And so the camel reminds us then that we are to have a correct sense of proportion. But the Lord then also used the camel to teach that the Lord is able to do what seems impossible. The Lord is able to do what seems impossible. Matthew 10:25, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And some preachers have a very odd explanation about that particular verse, and they talk about a gate in Jerusalem called the eye of a needle, and no such gate existed. That is a myth, and it's a very odd explanation. The Lord gave the meaning. He said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God." So, is it possible in the eyes of man to get a camel through the eye of a needle? No, it's impossible. So, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And the Lord used the camel then to teach that the Lord is able to do wonderful things. And that is certainly set forth in this section of the psalm. The Lord is able to do wonderful things. I want to see, first of all, when the Lord performs extraordinary deliverances, the delivered are to live for God's glory. When the Lord performs extraordinary deliverances, the delivered are to live for God's glory. Verse 17 says, "Deal bountifully. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word." The phrase that we have it in English, deal bountifully. It's a Hebrew word meaning to reward, and we'll come back to that in a moment or two. But evidently the psalmist here was in great distress, and it would seem that his life was threatened. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live. And so he's saying, I am threatened with death, and it's a cry unto the Lord. So much of this section is a prayer. It's a cry unto the Lord to spare him. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live. But notice these words, that I may keep thy word. And don't we learn here then, a preserved life is only useful if that life then that has been preserved is used to keep the Lord's word. Think of how often God in his providence spares sinners from death. The Lord takes sinners out of very difficult situations. And what is their response, the unregenerate response? I'm so lucky. And they live as if the Lord had never shown mercy to them. And the psalmist is saying, do not let me live in such a way as the ungodly. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Yes, spare me, but spare me that I may be obedient unto the word of the Lord. And so again, thinking of the camel going through the eye of the needle, it's an impossibility. And at times it would seem our case is hopeless, yet the Lord is able to intervene. But should he, our life is prolonged that we might keep the Lord's word, that we are to live for the Lord's glory. I want to see then, secondly, that it's only the Lord that can open our eyes to the wonders of his word. It's only the Lord that can open our eyes to the wonders of his word. Verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The Bible is certainly like no other book. The key to understanding the Bible is not having great intelligence. The key to understanding the Bible is not to have a PhD. But here is the key. The Lord would open the eyes. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And as the psalmist uses this word, open thou mine eyes, the Hebrew has the idea, take away the veil. Remove the veil that is obstructing my vision. And of course, Paul took that image in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the latter part of that chapter, where he was describing how the Jew in his day could read the scriptures and they could not see the truth in it. But the Lord takes away the veil, and that sinners are brought to see Christ in the scriptures. That is the wondrous things. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Remember the two believers on the Emmaus Road, as they were filled with such discouragement, as they were filled with such disappointment, what they had longed for had not come to pass. The defeat of the Romans, the emancipation of the Jewish people from under Roman dominion, it had not come to pass. They were so vexed, so disappointed. But remember, the Lord drew near. Their eyes were veiled. They didn't recognize him. He opened up the scriptures to them. He set forth himself in the scriptures. He was showing that he is the great theme of the word of God. And later, as their eyes then were opened in that sense of understanding who it was, they said their hearts had burned within them. The Lord had opened their eyes. They had beheld wondrous things that they had never seen before out of the law of the Lord. If you look with me at verse 19, the psalmist says, I am a stranger in the earth. hide not thy commandments from me. And again, surely there is this idea, don't let thy truth be concealed from me. Let it be in my vision. Let me see thy truth. Let me lay hold of thy truth. And again, we think of the camel. It was, of course, in those days associated with travel. Someone might be traveling some long distance and they could be described as a stranger in the country, passing through. Perhaps that traveler would hide various objects as they traveled. And the psalmist says, I'm a stranger, but don't hide your word from me. Don't conceal your commandments from me. We are like strangers. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're strangers and pilgrims here upon the earth. And our prayer is to be then, hide not thy commandments. Again, isn't this a wonderful sign that regeneration has taken place within the heart of the psalmist? Hide not thy commandments from me. The unregenerate man doesn't want to know about the commandments of God. They convict him. But the regenerate one says, don't conceal your commandments. If there's something that you've spoken and said, this is to be done, this is not to be done, I want to live a life of obedience. And so Peter said in 1 Peter 2:11, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Be obedient to the Lord's commands. In verse 24, it says, thy testimonies also are my delight. My delight and my counselors. The word testimonies, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, has to do with the witnesses of the word of God. That is then by implication. The word of God is reliable. It's a faithful testimony. This faithful word, it's my delight. And again, we can see that this man has seen the gospel. For the unregenerate man, if he truly is confronted with the testimonies of God, that the word of God is true, if the unregenerate man sees the scriptures as he ought to, they condemn him. There should be the greatest consternation. But here is a man that has been born again of the Spirit of God. The law that once condemned him, he recognizes now, has been satisfied. Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. So then, it's only the Lord that can open our eyes to the wonders of his word. May this be our prayer continually. Open thy mine eyes. I want to see then, thirdly, that when it seems justice is forgotten, God is able to bring it to pass. When it seems justice is forgotten, God is able to bring justice to pass. In verse 20, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Now, when it says there, my soul breaketh, the word breaketh there can be translated, my soul is crushed, I am wounded, or my soul is rent, I feel like a rag that has been torn. And here there is a cry for justice. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Now if you look with me at verse 21, and we see why it is that the psalmist is so broken. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed. And so the proud man is against the psalmist, but the psalmist is sure the Lord has rebuked the proud. In verse 22, remove me from reproach and contempt. And so he has felt the reproach and the contempt of an adversary. Verse 23, princes also did sit and speak against me. Those in high places, those in authority, they've been making life difficult for the psalmist. As I was reading these words, I was reminded of well-known words, I think, in Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 in the verse 14. It says, judgment is turned away backward. Justice standeth far off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. And don't we feel that way sometimes, even in our own nation? Judgment is turned away. Justice standeth far off. Truth is fallen in the street. Equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. The Lord saw it. It displeased him that there was no judgment. And so the Lord is not indifferent to the lack of justice. And so in the words that follow, we see a twofold reaction. And the Lord comes to vindicate his people, preserve them, deliver them. But then he comes to destroy the ungodly. In verse 17, he put on unrighteousness as a breastplate and helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. And so the psalmist, or in this case Isaiah, seeing the state of the land from a manward perspective, judgment had turned away, justice had fallen. But yet the Lord had not forgotten his righteous judgment. And so it is here in Psalm 119, the psalmist prays. He's in this anguish, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments. There's this prayer, Lord, on account of thy word, that is the book of judgment, fulfill the judgments. Bring what your word has said. And perhaps for the psalmist at this time, it seemed impossible. If this is David speaking, fleeing from Saul or fleeing from Absalom, he says, I'm a stranger in the earth. Can it be that the Lord will vindicate his servant? It seems impossible. It would be like a camel passing through the eye of a needle, but not with God. The Lord is going to, in the words of verse 17, then deal bountifully with his servant. I said earlier that word deal bountifully, the Hebrew word, means reward. Interestingly, that word also means wean, which might seem a strange thing. How could it be that the word reward also refers to the maturing of a child, that it can be said to be weaned? I wonder, is the link something like this, that sinners on earth get a little foretaste of the wrath that lies before them, but in judgment they're fully weaned. They get the full meat of the wrath of God. The psalmist cries out, my soul breaketh. He cries to the Lord for this vindication of the Lord's cause, and the Lord will answer. And so today, as the Lord's people cry, the Lord will vindicate our cry. The Lord will bring justice even when it seems impossible. But I want to see, fourthly, that we have in these words the wonder of Calvary. The wonder of Calvary. If you look with me again at verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant. And of course, the title servant is one of the titles of Christ. Deal bountifully. Bring the reward that I may live. And we think of Christ on Calvary's cross. This could be his very definite prayer. Reward me that I will live. Bring about that resurrection from the grave. In verse 19, I am a stranger in the earth. The Lord came unto his own. His own received him not. But if you go down to verse 22, remove from me reproach. Remove from me reproach. The word reproach here, and the removing of it, has to do with rolling. And the same Hebrew is used in the book of Joshua for that place name, Gilgal. So the Hebrew word Galal, rolled, then is used to provide the proper name, Gilgal. Remember how after the children of Israel passed into the promised land, there was the reinstitution of circumcision, the sign of the covenant. And in Joshua 5 verse 9, it says, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt. And so it's the same language here. Remove from me, or roll away from me, the reproach and contempt. Now what is so significant about that, and then Joshua 5, is that the name Golgotha comes from that same Hebrew word. Golgotha is the place of rolling. Golgotha was the place where the reproach was rolled away. And so as Christ was brought to Golgotha, there was the evidence of the reproach. There was the evidence of God's hatred of sin, as his own dear son would come as the sin bearer, brought there as the great substitute. But praise God, he drank damnation dry. He took that cup of wrath, he drank it, and thereby there has been the rolling away of reproach and contempt. Our Lord came forth from the grave victorious. But here then is our testimony as God's people. Reproach and contempt has been rolled away. Our sins testified against us. We had broken God's holy law. It testified against us. It cried for our destruction. But that reproach, the contempt, has rolled away. Christ has taken the wrath in our place. He has met the demands of God's holy justice. And therefore, coming right back up to verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant. The Lord deals bountifully with every believer. We're rewarded. We're rewarded for Christ's work as a servant. When David had spared the life of Saul, Saul said to David, thou hast dealt well with me. Now in Saul's case, he was hard to the mercy that was shown. And the old hatred against David persisted. But we can say, the Lord has dealt well with us. The Lord has dealt bountifully. Interestingly, the word Gamaliel, found in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, it comes from this word for camel, Gamel. Gamaliel has to do with the one who rides the camel. Of course, not everyone with that name in Scripture fulfilled that particular title in a good way. But as we think of that particular name then, Gamaliel, it not only signifies the one that would ride a camel, but more importantly, he has the reward of God. He has received the benefit of God, rewarded of God. lives in the benefit of God. Deal bountifully with thy servant. We are Gamaliel in that sense then. The Lord has dealt bountifully with us. And may we tonight and continuously have our eyes open then, as the psalmist prayed here, that we would see wondrous things out of God's law, that continually we would see Christ and how well he has dealt with us. And we trust the Lord will bless these thoughts to our hearts.